Live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Monday, Cofield and Company here at the Battleborne Broadcast Center. Adam Hill is with us. Damon is back in the Findlay Toyota Studios. Adam, my friend, what's going on?
Not much. Big weekend, crazy weekend in sports, and things never end. It's just, it's wild with everything that's going on with, you know, the UFC this weekend, announcements of fights, and the great fights that they had, and then Golden Knights wrapping up for the playoffs and everything else going on. And then Raiders started their offseason program today. So never ends in sports. It's great.
Should we do more Raiders today since the NFL is King of the Hill 365 a year? Or should we do UFC a bunch because you and Damon were there? What's your read? And remember, your buddy said he hates the media. Now, that probably shouldn't come into effect on what we cover if we believe it's popular and it's clicking. We don't use the word clicking. You guys do. What should we do?
No. Well, I mean, to be fair, I'm you know, among the most hated people there are right now in that sport. And
so I'm asking you.
I covered it because I wanted to cover it. Nobody at the paper would have been mad if I didn't.
Wait, say that again?
Nobody would have been mad if I didn't cover it. If I would have written Raiders stories this weekend instead?
Has it fallen way down the list in terms of priorities and hits? Oh,
yeah, for sure. No question. And I do it because I want to, because I love it. I basically
you make that sacrifice.
Essentially take off days to go cover it. Like, that's what I want to do.
You did last week. That's right. Thursday and Friday.
I mean, off days from work, from the paper.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, I'm off today. I'm going to go write a.
You still go cover it on your own dime.
Yeah, because I think it's important. And I think it's cool. I still enjoy it. So. Yeah, I think it's still something to talk about. You can combine it. Like Max Crosby talked a lot about UFC today, so you can kind of do that crossover for sure.
I want to hear about that for sure.
There was a big moment this week that brought back your favorite clip because it was the last event for one of the ESPN MMA people who was switched over to NFL, and everybody was circulating the NFL reporters are up here.
Oh, yeah?
NBA,
I missed it.
Then NHL. And then MMA people.
Wait, who was that? Who got switched?
Mark Ramadi is going to be the ESPN's beat writer for the Falcons.
And joining the show on Friday.
Yeah, there you go. Got him. He'll be here on Friday.
Oh, okay.
On the show.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Falcons draft preview.
Coming down to TI?
No, he'll be calling from Atlanta. Falcons draft preview.
Oh, okay. But you won't be on.
I won't. Probably.
We'll see about that. All right, let's get into it. Since, and I asked a question about UFC or NFL, I'm going with neither. Since we found out last week that women's college basketball is more popular than men's college basketball, we have to stick with the women's theme. And I don't know that we've ever, outside of the Aces in the number one hole, I don't know that we've ever been hyped up on this show. Maybe Willie Ramirez was. On a few occasions, but the rest of us that we were hyped up for a WNBA draft like this one, and the Aces aren't involved.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to this on so many fronts.
Well, it would be if there was mystery.
It's not about the number one pick.
No, yeah, of course.
It's about where the other stars who hopefully can lift the WNBA higher than 728,000 viewers for their finals like they averaged last year to the kind of numbers that Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and Camila Cardoza and other star, and you know, Juju Watson's not in the draft, but
Cameron Brink
is, listen, not to, I don't want to keep attacking the grand old lady of WNBA who feels disrespected, but maybe Taurasi has a lot of commercials that I haven't seen, but what is the commercial Brink is in for? Is that a Nike ad where she's playing basketball with all the dudes?
I don't even know what the ad's for.
Yeah, I don't either, but she's in there. But the WNBA has star power. It needs this next level star power, and there's really no arguing with it. You can't get mad. Again, 728,000 viewers for their finals with a dominant team with a bunch of superstars, some of the ladies who lead the WNBA versus 15 and 19 million in the Final Four for the ladies' games.
Yeah,
just, I mean, that they have to embrace it. I know they're not right now, but the WNBA needs this really badly, and they're getting it at a perfect time. If they have the possibility of getting more money, I guess the NBA has more possibility of getting more money for the women's product, this is where it's going to hit. And this draft is part of it. I see it buzzing on social media. People are fired up. I mean, we know Caitlin Clark's going to go number one. But I can't wait to see the group that Angel Reese is going to join and what her role in the team is going to be, especially off the court. So I'm excited about that. And like you said, and Brink and, you know, Cardozo, who's 6'7", might be a dominant force. Yeah. Fired up.
I like all of it. I just think, unfortunately, it's not a women's basketball thing. It's a Caitlin Clark thing, and they're probably not going to be good, and it won't matter, and we'll see how it all plays out. But it's an influx of talent. We get that every year, but this is a different level of popularity as opposed to talent. I think talent is far less important than popularity when it comes to women's basketball right now. And we'll see, we will see which teams can get better, which teams can improve, and who can chase down the aces. I don't think it's going to be Indiana. And so, unfortunately, you'll have people watching their games, and I think probably getting sick of them at some point during the season and losing the momentum that we had.
Is there anyone who can take the air to the balloon quicker than Adam Hill?
I think there's a reality to it.
I mean, do you do this in pitch meetings at the RJ where they're like, hey, this is really getting hits, and then you come up with reasons to like, no, it's not going to get hits because this is what's going to happen?
No, it's reality, right? It's
there, like, are you just taking a wire story on this WNBA draft? Are you guys going to do something? Will you try to capture some aces-related hits on this Monday and Tuesday?
Probably, like
Tuesday and Wednesday.
We'll probably do a wire story. I know we are.
We have an aces writer, right?
We do soon. Sure.
Oh, they're not on board yet?
No.
You have an aces writer who will then have which UNLV is bigger for you guys, football or basketball, men's basketball?
Right now, it was close this year.
Okay.
It's always been basketball, but it was closer this
year. So when that person has time, they'll cover UNLV?
No. I mean, that'll be one of the main focuses.
Ahead of the Aces? When the Aces season's still going on in like August?
No, it'll be one of the main – there's three main focuses. If they have games on the same day, then we have to figure out, you know.
Basketball will be more clear once November hits, the men's basketball starts.
Yeah.
So.
For sure.
I just always wonder from a click standpoint. I know the Raiders like 50 times everyone else.
Yeah.
And I mentioned USC. I don't know where that clicks anymore. And women's basketball, we keep hearing about the super popularity and how we all base our programs now and what you guys cover after $20 million for the final and $15 million for the Final Four with Caitlin Clark.
Yeah. And I think the reality of the situation is the best aces story. And this, it's a commentary on where media is and people complain about media. It's not the media, it's the people, it's the consumers that drive what media does for the most part. The best way to do an aces story today would be like, aces don't select Caitlin Clark.
That would be the headline, which by the way has become a theme for like 10 days now. South Carolina fans are just pissing and moaning all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I actually saw people come, someone, and we'll get to this with Steve Kim, Confucius later on. We'll get into the discussion that there are South Carolina fans, I think they're joking, that don't understand why Caitlin Clark was on SNL, and it should be someone from South Carolina or Don Staley, because they won the title.
I mean, it's just the reality.
It is the reality.
And South Carolina fans probably wouldn't have watched.
Possibly not. It was Michael Shea, though. Is that what you're getting at?
No, I'm just saying, okay. I just think it's, these things aren't driven by the media deciding what you want to see. Like, that's the narrative. The media tells us this. No, consumers do.
You tell us this.
By what they read and what they click on and what they watch. Like, the consumers dictate the market. That's the reality of the situation.
I think, we know Caitlin Clark's going to Indiana. And by the way, the draft coverage starts next hour. So, hey, DeMond, can we execute live hop-ins? Let's try to do that like we do for the NFL draft.
You got it.
And by the way, we have no plans to do that for the NBA draft.
We need a big sounder.
I'll work on that too. Yeah, all the pop
and toss. Let's do it. You can handle all the tech. We'll pop in for all of the. If we get the top 10 in, we'll pop in for all of that.
Can we just do a sounder that says, with the number 2 pick, blank selects not Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
The number 3 pick, not Caitlin Clark.
By the way, where's your buddy who was tweeting at me last week about tearing down the game, bruh?
Well, you did have
my guess is unless programming right now is tied to their local WNBA squad, no other WNBA market, no other top 35 market will be throwing to the WNBA selections.
True.
I think Indiana will, but I'm sure Indiana, you know, that's interesting, actually. We have to look that up. We'll have to see tonight what Indianapolis, if they care, this person is such a big ratings getter, Caitlin Clark, on the TV side. Do they have special programming today for the WNBA draft?
I would imagine.
Okay.
Sure.
I wonder.
Yeah. Well, there's already been, it's already massive programming of what she's wearing. It's all over the place.
Okay. What was that programming?
I mean, I'm saying programming like social media and.
Oh, what she's wearing tonight?
And, yeah, she's
what's
wearing,
she wearing?
Prada, like a white Prada.
Is it a suit or a dress?
It's like more. It's more suitish.
All right, we're gonna have to look this up.
I'm really, a fashion person.
I'll have to look this up. Might have to text in the our makeup and clothing expert and hair expert. Actually, I've got a whole panel.
It's Prada. But I don't know anything.
It's a nice fit. It's I'd say a suit jacket, but also wearing a skirt.
Yeah, so it's a more jacket.
Please don't wear the jacket with a hoodie and a skirt. I don't think anyone's tried to pull that off. Not even Andrew Whitworth.
No, I don't think it's not like a blazer.
I don't know if it's funny or not. I think it's funny. If Andrew Whitworth, and what we're talking about is that jacket hoodie thing that Becky Hammon wears, Mike Wilbon tried to wear. That could break that barrier of, like, if Whitworth wore the suit, the hoodie attached, and like a kilt,
that'd be a good look.
Then we can go legs. We can show the legs.
You might try that. Didn't you wear a kilt? I feel like I think that happened.
Whitworth?
Or was it Joe Thomas? It was some big guy.
We'll have to look that up too. We had a lot of clothing to look up here.
Also, I want to add Caitlin Clark. The glasses are fire.
All right, we got a good. Come on. We got to get some. This has to be in the rundown. I got to see these pictures. We got to look it up during the break. Got to send it out to the crowd or the audience. Okay. All right. Topics. We'll put that down in the rundown.
Well, I'll tell you during the break why I held back. That's fine.
Angel Reese. Is she doing social media for everyone in the first round?
I think she's trying
to help out with all the followers.
She's trying. She organized a big selfie yesterday at the Empire State Building with all the top players
upstairs. City View.
The top of the Empire State Building.
That's nice.
Yeah. Empire State Building is still cool?
I think so. Mm. It's another thing we got to look up. I don't know how many floors is it? I was going to say, is it now? Like, do they take some off?
No, more than 80.
Well, because they always add the antenna on the top gets credit.
I thought I saw somewhere that said that they were on the 80th floor or something. But I can't remember.
Okay.
Feels like it should be taller than that.
God, the show's loaded already.
Should be taller than that.
90s? In the 90s?
Should it be like 100?
I don't know. The Sears Tower that's not named the Sears Tower anymore is
Willis.
It is. Oh, how'd you know that?
Smart.
Good for you.
Trivia.
Good for you. Masters. More popular. We'll say this. More of a needle mover. Angel Reese or Scottie Scheffler?
Probably Scheffler.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that? What's his connection?
86th floor is the observation deck.
Okay.
It's not fun.
So give me the Scheffler popularity, because I watch your guy McAfee this morning, and he seemed to suggest over and over again, like, you know, good guy, has some interesting stuff, you know, faith-based dude, was going to leave if the wife had the kid. But beyond that,
it's kind of boring.
Okay.
But
then your answer on Angel Reese and Scottie Scheffler.
No, it doesn't matter.
It's Angel Reese.
It's golf. More than
really? You're going to make a case that golf is there right now?
Yeah, there's a large segment of people that just love golf.
Do you think the Masters final round outrated the finals for the women? That's a good head-to-head challenge.
No.
Do you think it outrated the...
Would it have if Caitlin Clark wasn't there? Yes.
It doesn't... It's she's part of it. Scottie Scheffler.
You said Angel Reese or Scottie Scheffler.
Well, right now, I think Angel Reese is as much of a needle mover, and I think she will be out of this WNBA draft as Caitlin Clark will. Because Caitlin Clark is going to blend into the team. There's going to be some interesting stuff here with Angel Reese. Wherever she goes, she will instantly become the loudest person on the team.
Yeah, but I don't think that resonates necessarily with people. Yeah. There is a segment that just loves their golf and they'll watch their golf and it doesn't really matter. And not me. I'm out. If Tiger's not in contention, I'm out.
He wasn't in contention.
He wasn't. He fell apart.
Did you bet the matchup?
No.
Did you bet Phil?
No.
That was a big winner.
I don't really bet golf. I just, and you know, I'll enjoy it if Tiger's competing. And it was cool to see him hanging around the first couple of days, make the cut. That was good. But yeah, I think that, that there is just a large amount of people that love Scottie Scheffler. Scottie Scheffler is doing things that Tiger Woods kind of did early in his prime.
I mean, I'm interested. I don't know that he has much of a personality, but when you're a dominant winner, you kind of, you don't have to have that personality.
Yeah, maybe too nice. A lot was made of him, you know, insisting on his caddy being part of the kind of the walk up and the celebration, and not doing it himself, and, you know, including other people. Like, he seems to just be a good guy, which I don't know if that's going to resonate long term. Like, you kind of need to be polarizing and exciting, but he's playing at a ridiculously high level right now. The odds were insane. They were basically to the point where you couldn't bet Scottie Scheffler. And in fact, from what I understand, the sportsbooks did very, very well on a favorite winning, because literally everybody said, that's all you get.
Yeah.
It's less than 4-1.
I can't do it.
Like, no, you can't bet that in a golf tournament. And he went and rolled through the field.
Damon, Scottie Scheffler.
Steve, you talk about him being interesting or moving the needle. I think that's what the wife story was all about.
Needed something?
Yeah, he knew he was a sure thing. He said, man, I'm going to roll at the Masters this year. How can I make people care about me? I got it.
I might leave,
guys. My wife has this baby, my firstborn son. I wouldn't miss this for the world. So that was him trying to, you know, drum up some attention. I don't know if it's a boy or girl.
And it makes him look like a hero in most yes. circles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not here.
Not on this show?
No.
That's a tough one. The problem in this whole discussion is we've talked about baseball, but especially the NFL, that you really have to time this out. Like, you cannot be conceiving really anywhere near the beginning of the year.
I mean,
you got to do summer or late summer.
Nobody is more dedicated to their job, and nobody is more perfectly tied to their job or match their job than Robert Spillane. We've talked about this before. If there wasn't football, I don't know what he would do. He said it today.
Baby's, he did?
Baby's doing 6 to 8 weeks, something like that. This will be in June. Yep. We're good. It's the off season. Timed well.
I mean, even if it's not gonna bury you in the month of September in terms of, you know, stamina. I mean, you don't want to pull a hammy or a calf dropping.
You don't want her going into labor while you're playing a game.
You know,
you have babies in the off season.
This is a standard thing. It's not, is the baby gonna come in 4 months? Or could it be 9 months? It's not a roll of the dice. No. You know the clock.
You have babies in the off season. That's when you're supposed to have them.
All right.
Dedicate to your job. You know how Scottie Scheffler could help the baby? By winning a tournament.
You think the $3 million helps? Set up his family?
It's not three.
How much
That's
was
the
it?
Prize money.
Oh, okay.
But how? Another Masters title? More endorsements? Bigger star power? All of those things? That's what's going to help the baby. You think the baby's going to remember if you were there? No.
I mean, the
baby's gonna know what you did, what goes down in history. Another green jacket. The baby can see that green jacket in the closet. What's hanging there if you don't win? Nothing.
The wife is part of the mix. You do have to kind of take her sentiments into
She should
consideration.
Understand.
You think?
She married into a professional athlete.
Here we go.
That's her choice.
It's nothing new, Damon. He's just doubling, tripling down.
I thought I came with a hot take about this, but no, he's double tripling down on it.
Well, this is not new.
It's not new at all. We have been just very fervent on this.
And then I was doing the finger count on my fingers about NFL players. So that means that Robert Spillane, well, any NFL player, end of the season December is when you should be trying to get it on?
No, you're a bad math.
All right, what's the month then?
It's like around Thanksgiving, a little sooner, like October, Halloween.
But then you should be locked in for the season.
No, you're... You can be locked into the season doing that. Like, that's you're trying to have the baby in late May, early June, maybe into the beginning of July. That's your sweet spot.
That's what he's focused on during the season. I don't know if he's a winner.
Focused on it. You think no football players have
also,
sex during the season? None of them.
Tuesdays. I'm saying, but if he's trying to conceive, if that's what
good
we got to do this now.
Got to try to conceive on.
They're matching
Adam
the calendars.
On the off day.
You're one day off.
On your one,
you got Tuesdays off.
Your one off day.
That's your day to focus.
Stop as much as you want.
Line up whatever those calendars are that tell you when you're most fertile. Line her calendar up with your Tuesday, and then that's when you go.
With a golfer, do you have a pecking order for the tournaments? You're like, I could possibly miss this tournament.
Yeah,
because golf
January,
is all year round.
No, December, January, those are not important tournaments.
Okay.
Yeah, that's when you have it. Or look, don't play a tournament. That's fine.
You don't want to miss majors.
Yeah.
And certainly this one.
Right. Yeah.
What's the order?
If you miss like the whatever Bob Hope tournament or what goofy Valero Open, whatever they have. Skip those.
Coming back, I want to find out what Davante Adams said this weekend, but especially Max Crosby and other players who are available as OTAs open up for the Raiders.
And still going to work. Banking it in again, a 40-piece.
There's nothing. Now I'm arguing with you because why are you calling it now?
Oh, there's that. Oh, Gigi going through and throwing it down.
Now back to Cofield and Company.
Come on, that was GG Jackson.
Yep, Steve, rookie for the Memphis Grizzlies, who had a career high yesterday. I just love that the last game of the NBA season has turned into now a game where if you're just a guy, it doesn't matter where your team's at, if your team's good or bad, that's your day to have a career high.
Yeah, I looked at the box score for the Grizz against the Lakers prior to that, and I was like, okay, Grizzlies, a lot of new guys.
Oh, they had the most. What's the stat? Minutes played of the season or games missed? I think the Golden Knights had it in NHL this year.
Yeah.
Whereas, oh, look at all the time that our players missed. The Memphis Grizzlies held all those records in the NBA this season.
Well, hopefully everything works out from an injury standpoint with their star, and he can come back. And this has been a building year, right?
Wish it would have happened last year.
We've talked about it many times that there really is no sense and. Not playing young guys and essentially trying to lose when your star or stars go down. NFL teams don't learn that lesson, and that's why we in this market are in the position of wondering how the Raiders are going to move up. But like we said a million times, congrats on that big Chargers win late in the year.
And the Broncos won to close the year.
Yes.
That was awesome. Now you're stuck picking behind the Broncos.
Both are ahead of you, and the Chargers are way ahead of you, and in like some of the best draft position in the league because they can afford to stockpile picks by moving down because there's going to be a bunch of organizations rotting up to get to number five. So I want to get to the Davante Adams quote a little later, but I want to get your feedback on what was going on today. First of all, what's the setup here with the Raiders and OTAs?
So it's the first day of OTAs. It's voluntary but suggested is how the team's going to put it, especially when you have new coach quotes, new GM, new staff, all those things, new systems in place. It's the first day. Players have been working out at the facility, but it's the first day they can actually have organized things, meet with the coaches, nothing on the field yet, but, work out together, be with the coaches, do their meetings, some film room stuff, things like that. So it's the beginning of that right now. I think 2 weeks until the on-field stuff starts, but that's not pads or anything like that. That's just walkthroughs and shorts out on the field. So it's a process that goes through the off-season, a couple days a week that they're in there, and anytime that they are in the facility and part of an actual team activity, there is media availability. So four guys today came in and spoke just about how things are going and how the offseason has gone, that sort of thing. Andre James talked for the first time about his contract. Aiden O'Connell talked about being in a quarterback competition, that sort of thing. So, just a kind of a more of a relaxed, informal type of session than it is during the season.
All right. Max?
He had a lot to
He's
say.
Bottled up. He does a podcast, though.
He does. But I think this is one of those times where, he's just been kind of working out, hasn't really been on a podium asking questions. He's, he has his outlet for the podcast and that's great for him. But I think he takes, and one of the things he said, he takes everything he does seriously in terms of sport. If it's practice, if it's, media availabilities, that sort of thing, whatever it is going to go seriously. And I'll say just from our perspective, I know we had a plan for, hey, let's, write a story on what Max says. And then he talked and we said, oh no, we can't, this has to be we have to do a lot of space. We have to dedicate. I said, it could be a book about him just talking today, but we'll have more of an in-depth thing because he just said a lot of really good things and he had a lot to say.
UFC.
He broke it down quite a bit. Yeah. What he thought about the, he also dropped in a nugget and we were all scrambling to try to confirm this. And then we had to follow up and ask him, later, he was talking about how he's switched to more boxing sparring than MMA sparring. He used to do a lot of MMA stuff.
Interesting.
But he was talking about both MMA and boxing. He's got the fight coming up this week. He talked about his favorite fighter, Javonta Davis. So he's excited to see if there can be a Haney fight at some point down the road against him. So he wants to watch Haney this week. But then he said, he's like, you know, I'm much more into boxing now. You know, I was just sparring Dominic Cruz the other day. And we were like,
wait, what?
A lot of things don't add up. Yes. Why are you saying you're into boxing and sparring Dominic Cruz?
Right.
Who's a former UFC champion.
He's also 5'7".
Yeah.
And out of shape, probably 152.
Yeah, that tops.
That tops.
So we were like, maybe he meant there's
6'5".
We looked up some heavyweight boxers like with the name Dominic.
Right.
Like, maybe he meant this guy. Maybe he meant this guy. Like, who could he possibly mean? Is there another Dominic Cruz that we don't know about? Because why are you talking about boxing and then saying you sparred Dominic Cruz? Right. Also, why are you sparring a guy that's half your size? None of that really makes sense. But then we were able to kind of send a message to him and follow up and say, hey, did you mean Dominic Cruz, the former UFC champion? And he said, yes. That's who he's sparring with. He said they're throwing bombs at each other, too. So,
wait, what?
Good for Dominic Cruz, I guess, for taking the punches.
Yeah. 6'5", 250, 260.
Yeah.
He's going
big fella.
5'7", 150.
Well, he has been sparring Sean Strickland a lot, which I would say the team is probably like, maybe don't.
Yeah.
Sean Strickland is notorious for just going very, very hard.
Off-season concussions piling up.
Yeah, with sparring partners. So he has switched up. I guess maybe that was the team saying, hey, can you fight a bantamweight? Can we fix this and not spar middleweight champions? That's a interesting development there that he's sparring with Dominic.
Steve Kim, boxing experts on the way. So good segue by Adam Hill. That'll be up in 10 minutes. And we do have Haney in his fight. Will Ryan Garcia show up in mental shape to take care of business? We'll talk to Steve in about 10.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Text line is open, 702-364-1100. That's the Finley Kia text line. Damon, what do you got?
This is a good one. This is from Ryan, and this is earlier when we were talking about Scottie Scheffler and Robert Spillane. You clowns, tell me you don't have regular sex without saying it. Conceiving isn't actually that easy all the time. If you always waited for the perfect time, you may be waiting for years.
Yeah.
Speak for yourself, brother. I fire live bullets. You clown.
Yeah, we were saying you need to be disciplined and manage better intentionally. Yes, if you're a regular person, do what you want
to
do.
But to the person's point, there are people who have difficulty getting pregnant. So you're represented now, sir.
Yes, and as a regular person, I support whatever means necessary, for sure. We're saying as a professional athlete, this is part of the job.
Yeah. Damon, you knew this wasn't going to go in a good direction.
I know. I almost told him myself about it. Buddy, let me tell you how successful I am.
But I'm not. Actually, you are successful. You have no kids. That's success.
That we know of.
That's the ultimate goal.
Oh! Ooh! There you go.
It's the ultimate goal. Everybody's ultimate goal in life should be not to have a child.
Giveaway time, 364-1100, 364-1100, or text. But if you want to call in, 364-1100. We've got country music, Chris Young. Young Love and Saturday Night's Tour. It's coming up in August, Resorts World Theater. Damon's got a couple of tickets for you right now. He is the country guy on the show, Cowboy Cotton. 364-1100. Chris Young, really good, really good. One of my favorites. Two tickets. You can get your tickets at AXS.com. But Chris Young tickets right now, 364-1100.
Steve Kim, the host of the Three Knockdown Rule, joins Cofield and Company, presented by Snack Nutrition.
Steve Kim, Confucius, Korean curmudgeon is with us. Steve, what's going on, buddy?
Oh, good Monday to you guys.
Oh, no. Did our phone system cut off what was coming back, or could you hear it?
Hello?
There he is. I think Steve popped on. I think Steve popped on after we played Pebbles Just For You, man.
Oh, my God. I love that song. Great song. Played it today. It came up on my YouTube music selection. It was great.
Did you also work out the prior day to Whitney Houston?
Well, no. Well, yeah. What's wrong with that? She's got quick songs that you can kind of get into. They're not all like I Believe the Children Are Our Future. She has some songs you can work out to. But let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty that they have inside. But I don't work out to that one. No.
Okay. I tried to box you into a corner, and you came out. You fought your way out of the corner on Whitney Houston.
Like
that was good.
Song. Okay, the Whitney Houston song is so emotional, and that's actually a quick up-tempo song. And if you watch the video, she actually was in concert and she tried to dance like she did the Cabbage Patch. It didn't work out well for us. I was like, Whitney, singing is your thing. You're not Janet. We're good here. You know.
Lesson learned. So, lesson learned.
Yeah.
We got to talk about a fight this weekend, Steve. Go ahead, Steve. Finish up.
A drive on this with Mario Lopez. I'm parking right now, fellas. Go ahead.
Okay. So let's talk about a fight this weekend, and then we're going to look back to Big Baby fighting, which I was kind of looking forward to after the UFC card. But first on, we've been talking about Haney Garcia for weeks, even months, because of Garcia's behavior. Is this going to turn out to be a good fight, and is Garcia going to come to the ring of right mind?
Well, as of right now, on the Monday, and I spoke to Eric Gomez, the president of Golden Boy Promotions. I said, Eric, can you believe you're actually here? We're actually at fight week, and he kind of chuckled. Look, I think the fight's going to happen. I've been on record for a while saying, listen, for all the wackiness and the zaniness of Ryan Garcia on social media, he needs the money. This is what he does as a vocation. There's a lot of money on the line. I don't think he's going to give that up. Now, anything can happen within the next 96 or 120 hours that could curtail it, but I think the fight's going to happen, and I'll be very clear about this. With you guys and on the three knockdown rule, which we're going to be taping in about 45 minutes here, I think Devin Haney wins this fight convincingly. I haven't talked to a single odds maker, bettor, trainer, matchmaker that is actually tabbing Ryan Garcia to win this fight.
Yeah, I think with good reason, too. I mean, I would have thought he would have won anyway, and then you see what Garcia has been up to. I think that colors the opinion. I mean, you said it's going to happen. I think it's going to happen, too. But, like, what are we going to see? Has Garcia actually been training through all the nonsense, or has he just been just kind of being goofy for a while?
Well, I mean, Ryan has kind of mastered the art of manipulating social media and a very dumb society and a very ignorant generation of young people. And he's good at it. He's monetized it. It's been a great marketing tool. But from a pure standpoint of boxing, technique and fundamentals and tactics, I don't think he's in the same ball. And people are telling me they actually think Devin Haney might stop Ryan Garcia late in the fight. Box him early, punch him out late. You know, with Ryan Garcia, I think there's a lot of flash. The term that comes to my mind is he's more sizzle than steak. I mean, he's a very fun, provocative guy. But I don't know. I thought last year the fight against Gervonta Davis kind of showed that he truly is not an elite world-class level fighter.
Steve Kim's with us as we're talking boxing coming up this weekend, Haney and Garcia in Brooklyn. I saw you, I don't know if you had the prices list. I think you retweeted someone. What do you think of the prices right now, the secondary market prices?
Well, at the beginning, to cue Bob Barker, the price was wrong. They overpriced them. And, you know, going back to Ryan Garcia, I think his behavior early on did not help the promotion because think about it. It's not like going to Las Vegas where a lot of people on the West Coast can drive and there's people in Vegas already. Neither fighter is from that New York area, that borough, right? Devin Haney's from the Bay Area. Ryan Garcia's from Southern California, Victorville. So this fight is kind of at a neutral, faraway setting. A lot of people wanted this in Las Vegas. But once PBC and Canelo Alvarez put a hold for the T-Mobile on May 4th. They were shut out of Las Vegas, basically, for this date, April 20th, okay? So if you are a fan, guys, with limited disposable income, do you really want to risk your flight and hotel and all that other stuff associated with traveling? Did you trust Ryan Garcia 6 weeks ago to show up to this event? Therefore, the impact of that is, you're not going to move tickets. Now, I've been told that the Brooklyn area is a huge walk-up type of market. And you know, look, Eric Gomez said, look, Steve, the tickets are starting to move again. I think there's a belief the fight will happen. And so they think he said it's not going to be a sellout, but it's not going to be halfway empty either. Voting really did not do as much to promote the fight as he hoped.
We thought we had a good fight on the way featuring a potential elite heavyweight of the future. He's already ranked top five by some of the organizations and Big Baby Anderson, big knockout guy. And then what happened?
What happened? I mean, the juxtaposition was really interesting to me. While UFC 300 is going on, you have this great card from top to bottom, and I watched it with Mario. I enjoyed that card, and I'm more of a boxing guy, and I'm watching the Ryan Anderson fight, or excuse me, Jared Anderson fight. And as the rounds went on, I paid less and less attention to the boxing match and more to UFC. I don't know if that's symbolic of what is taking place with the marketplace of combat sports. But Jared Anderson, I mean, look, he's 24 years old, and he goes on these interviews, these woe-is-me sessions where he says, well, I don't really love boxing, and I'm going to get out of here before I'm 27, and I don't even care if I win a world title. Wow, sign me up. Where do I buy tickets for that guy? Right? Does that excite you guys as a fan or a media member when you hear athletes talk like that? Be honest.
No, of course not.
No.
Not at all, Steve. So, no, go ahead.
And then you fight in that manner, and again, that was not all his fault. It really wasn't. It does take two to tango, but he does not, the way he has conducted himself outside the ring, where he's had some legal issues, you can Google him, and just his talk about, well, I don't really love the sport, and I don't know. Okay, well, you know what? My attitude nowadays as the Korean curmudgeon, bye, good, the game will move on. Next man up.
Again, we're talking to Steve Kim here on Cofield & Company, presented by Snack Nutrition. I do want to talk about a fight that should have fight fans excited. Beterbiev versus Bivol. Is Canelo going to take the winner of that fight? Is he going to try to go back up to light heavyweight and get that title back?
No, because one guy already spanked him 10-2. No matter what the cards say, that was a one-sided boxing drubbing lesson. And Beterbiev is just a hammer. And I'm not so sure he ever moves back up to 175. And look, he fights here in a couple of weeks out there in your part of town. We'll see how he does against the young, spry Jaime Munguia. By the way, guys, I want to give the organizers of that event, Riyadh Season, led by Turki Alışık, a lot of credit. Have you seen that card top to bottom? That is a better lineup than the 27 Yankees. And unlike these pay-per-view cards coming up in the next couple of weeks that are just awful, just absolutely putrid, what a lineup on June 1st. I want to give kudos to those people over there.
Steve Kim is with us. He's brought to you each week by Snack Nutrition. I'm going to go way out of left field, but it's something I saw up on your Twitter account, and Steve's Twitter is highly entertaining. Steve Kim, 323 on Twitter. This story came out of Vietnam about real estate fraud. I want your take on the penalty, and do we want harsh penalties like this in the United States for white-collar crime in excess of like $100 million?
For all crime. All crime.
Jaywalking, speeding.
Of criminal justice reform, whatever's the opposite, because we've gone too far the other direction. We got to have a balance. So yes, let's start caning again. Let's start life sentences. Let's have harsher penalties. I want DAs to come back on television. When I was a kid, vote for me. I'm tough on crime. So yes, it is in light of what is happening in our crazy world, well justified. And us crouching tigers over there in the Far East, we do not play. We don't do that over there.
We will follow up on this one with our legal insider in just a little bit. I'm like, I think he's serious. I think he's 100% serious. So
I am serious.
We'll take your word on it.
I'm serious, Kim here.
Yeah, serious, Kim. Yeah. I think you fought back a little bit. I watched the whole video, and I understand what Whitlock does. I saw Tom Brady talking about a comeback, and Whitlock spun that into basically anyone can come back into the NFL at quarterback because they've dumbed down the game. I actually have completely opposite discussions where I think a lot of quarterbacks of the 70s, 80s couldn't play today because they weren't smart enough. So where are you on this one about the game being dumbed down for quarterbacks?
Well, I'm just telling you, if you talk to Coach JB, he'll tell you that the offenses are much more one read with the spread. You're not throwing into tight windows anymore, and offenses are able to create space. And the fact that you're not allowed to hit people the way you once did so violently has made it much more of an offensive game, and you don't have to protect your receivers as a quarterback. I mean, there's no repercussions for laying a guy out now because defenders are not allowed to basically take your head off. So I don't know, but my view is this, though, guys. If you go back to Tom Brady's last game he ever played, where they got absolutely poleaxed by the Dallas Cowboys at home, Tom Brady looked very jittery. He looked like a guy that no longer wanted to be in the belly of the beast inside that pocket. He looked like a guy that said, okay, I've done it. I'm still not the top of my game, but I'm still very, very good. But I think even in his own mind, he realized, like, you know what? Let's get out of here as clean as possible. I think if he came back right now, given the fact it's now, what, two seasons ago from that game to now, the only things that can happen, in my view, physically, are only bad things.
Right. Steve Kim is with us. Last one I wanted to hit on. I saw a boxing fan send you a message saying Vegas trip for LSU and USC Labor Day weekend is booked. Less boxing trips and more college football in 2024. I wanted to spin that too. Should Vegas look to book a neutral site game in August, September, and October, and I'll put it harshly, not waste their time with potential super fights when maybe we can't even get them anyway because of the Saudis?
Right. You know, that's a great thing. So now that we have no tradition left in college football, right, there's no more conferences. Yeah. Rivalries are now being expunged. You're just pulling the plug on games like Texas A&M, which happened about a decade ago. Teams are now basically going to football leagues. So basically have a bowl game every month and say, hey, if you want to like play a big-time game and play, get paid a lot of money, come to our stadium, Mark Davisville, and play a game. As a Miami Hurricane fan, whatever conference they end up, if you say in October 17th of this year, you're going to play some school in Las Vegas, I'd be there from Tuesday on enjoying myself. I'd love it because nice. 20 years ago, Steve, that would be an idea that would be laughed out of the room. Based on what is taking place right now in college football, what's so crazy about it? It's actually a great idea.
Last 30 seconds here. I know you got your podcast coming up, Three Knockdown Rule with Mario Lopez. What was your favorite moment? I assume you're going to do a lot of USC 300. What was your favorite moment of the event?
The buzzer beater knockout at the very end. I forgot which guy did it, but man, right at the end, that right hand and a guy just face plant. I think it was Gaethje that got nailed with that right hand. That was some dramatic stuff. I enjoyed that card top to bottom.
And I know it sounds crazy, but more fights should end like that with a sense of urgency. It doesn't mean it's going to end in a knockout, but someone has a good idea that they're down in the fight and it's go time. And especially in boxing, you freaking go for it instead of just taking the loss and, you know, falling eight rounds to four. Or
yeah, but the guy that was winning is the guy that challenged him to come to the center.
Yeah. Which is
he's 10 seconds away from winning the decision. He's like, no, let's finish this with explosions. Crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah, right, and I think he also earned the knockout of the night. And I think that's another impetus. And I think they raised the money on that. So, look, I think I'm just telling you, what took place in UFC 300 as opposed to what happened on that ESPN card, the word juxtaposition comes to mind immediately, gentlemen.
There you go. All right, Steve, we appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, guys, have a great week. Appreciate you.
Steve Kim, presented every Monday by Snack Nutrition. And that was kind of interesting because I got to watch the undercard. We'll get into it in the 5 o'clock hour. And once they went to the pay-per-view, they flipped to that fight. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be a good fight. And I was like, what is going on here? Not good timing for boxing after a pretty good undercard.
No.
With some good finishes and a Kayla Harrison beatdown of Holly Holm. I really want to get into that fight in just a little bit. Reminder this week, a lot of baseball going on. UNLV's got a weekend series going up against Reno, and the Aviators in town starting tomorrow all week long, and they've been here. But they got some cool stuff going on as the Dinosaurs are going to be on display. Dinosaurs Night on Saturday, comboed with a Little League Day number one, Dinosaurs Day. That's a 12:05 start, and then 7:05 is the time of the Saturday game. I want to remind everyone, Tacoma is in town, so you can get your tickets up on the website, as they have some good prospects. And Estuary Ruiz is off to a freaking amazing start since he's been down. I think it's only going to be a couple more weeks that they'll keep him down to mess with his service time, but he's been a monster so far. The A's outfielder who had 67 steals a year ago has got three homers and seven steals so far for Las Vegas.